This is the Annie Fry Show.
Senator Rubio, will you call for ceasefire in Gaza?
No, I will not. On the contrary. Are you filming it? I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians that are being killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas should stop building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 have died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed every day?
I think it's terrible, and I think Hamas is 100% to blame.
That is Marco Rubio, Senator Marco Rubio, potentially Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of State. I don't believe that's officially been confirmed yet. But when you listen to that flashback of Senator Rubio being asked by a reporter in the halls of the United States Senate about the 15,000 people who are dead, and he directly puts the blame and the onus on Hamas for those deaths, says he would not call for a ceasefire. Donald Trump picks him to be the Secretary of State. I would assume there's a brand new mentality that's going to be in town, and the world is about to know it. Our guest, Jim Carafano, once again, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, we have a result. We have a president-elect Donald Trump. And from my understanding, the world has already taken notice.
Yeah, I'm really liking the team. And let me tell you, and by the way, they just announced that Mike Huckabee is going to be the ambassador to Israel, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's great.
So here's what I like. Is first of all, as somebody who was there in 2016 and worked on presidential transition, this is a much more coherent team. These are people that know how to work. By everyone that we've seen so far, know how to work with the president, share the trust and confidence of the president, share his vision. I actually think it's great that they're not exactly uniform on every single policy. Let me tell you why. The modern conservative movement, which is by the way, a hell of a lot bigger this week than it was last week, is not about driving for a particular orthodoxy. That's the left. Everybody must believe this. Conservatives base their desire on delivering what's best for the American people. And when it comes to foreign policy, it's what's in America's best interest. So it's not about an orthodoxy. It's not about, well, we think we should always do this or we should always do that. It's about people who believe in America and its interest and are willing to sit down with their president and make principled arguments about what the right policy is, and then respect the decision that the president made, because he will make a decision, and he will impose it forcefully, and move forward. That is the best you could ask for. Donald Trump actually thrives on people disagreeing, and on people having their own opinion, and on people willing to be honest about their opinion, and then, as long as they're willing to trust their president when their president makes a decision, to ruck up like a good soldier and move on. So I think this is a very, on the national security front, if it's Waltz and if it's Rubio and Elliot, the Stefanik at the UN, and Huckabee is an ambassador. And, oh, by the way, can't tell you how excited I am that he's naming ambassadors right away and putting them out there, because they are the face of American foreign policy.
Can you drill down on that a little bit, too? Because I don't think people really, big Secretary of State, Chief of Staff, these are the big things that nationally we look at. But how important are these ambassadorships? What is their representation?
It's funny you should say that, because, my view on this has really changed in the last 2 years as I've been all over the world. I used to think, what is an ambassador? I mean, they kiss babies and, they have 4th of July parties. They don't actually do foreign policy. Foreign policy is done by the State Department, and they're almost kind of an anachronism. That's totally not true. An ambassador on the ground, particularly in a mid-sized and smaller country, has so much power and influence and respect, and their role is so critical. And when they enjoy the confidence of the President of the United States, that is a very, very powerful individual. So Trump, the first time around, had a number of political appointees as ambassadors, many of them with no foreign policy experience, who were really some of the most effective and representatives we had. And we're stellar. And so the fact that the president kind of got that, and he's leading with some not just cabinet officials, but embassy nominations, particularly our critical places like Israel, that is a very, very positive and constructive sign.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano. I've been looking forward to this conversation ever since the results came in, because you and I have had so many conversations about the tone of how America is looked at, respected, disrespected in the world. It really starts at the top. And you've made the case before that should this election go one way or the other, the world will react before the next president is inaugurated. And we're about a week out now of the election results. Has the world responded so far?
Oh, I think we've already seen signs of that. I think in our friends and allies, particularly those who aren't really Trump fans, that the byword is be pragmatic and responsible. And in our enemies, that, you know, the vacation's coming to an end. And I think we're really seeing some bits of, you know, we need to be a little more risk averse about dealing with Donald Trump. I got to tell you the most promising thing, and how many times, I mean, you and I have been talking about the border and immigration for 4 years. But when the president announces that Tom Homan is a real border czar, the guy that's basically going to be sitting with Steve Miller in the White House, personally directed this effort, and working with a professional in DHS like Kristi Noem, who's a governor who gets this. I've known Tom Homan forever. This man is an idol to me. He is the most relentless, professional, committed public servant I have ever seen. He just reminds me so much of my dad. My dad was a cop, and Tom Homan is, you know, he bleeds blue. And I mean, if his appointment doesn't send a signal to the human traffickers around the world that this, the game is up, then I don't know what, you know, I don't know what will. It's awesome.
Jim Carafano speaking with us right now. I love that you put it that way, because the message that is sent with these appointments, you know, there are people who are maybe halfway on their trek to cross the southern border. They're trying to get away from, you know, drug gang ridden neighborhoods. They're trying to come to America for a better place. They've been told that that's what they're going to get here. But it's an entire industry. Humans have become a commodity. There are people who are terrible, terrible people who are getting incredibly wealthy off of this game that the Democrats have set up in office over the last 4 years. Does this get violent on the southern border before it gets better?
I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but it's a battle they'll lose. We can get control of our southern border. Something Tom said today, which I think people already pay attention to, he said self-deport. He said if you're in America illegally or in one of these programs that's blatantly illegal and is going to get terminated on day one, leave. And that sounds cruel, but it's smart. And let me tell you why. Because the way this works is, if ICE picks you up, they're gonna immediately detain you. You don't get to go back home. You don't get to change your underwear. You don't get to talk to your employees. You don't get to talk to your boss. You don't get to talk to your family, your kids. You're going into detention, and likely you'll be held in detention till you're put out on a plane. And if you want to fight detention, fine. You can stay in there for months and years, or you can just agree to be deported. If you're smart and you're in this country, and if you have family, if you have kids, if you have a business, if you're smart, what you will do is you will get your affairs in order and you'll leave the country, because then you control your destiny and the fate of you and your family and your business interests and then maybe you can reapply to come back legally. But otherwise, every day of your life, you're going to be walking around wondering, is today the day I'm going to get picked up, thrown out of the country? And when you get put in detention, you're going to be put in there with rapists and murderers, and it's not a pleasant experience. And if your answer is I'll just hide in America, your life will be miserable, and yeah. you just wish you had been back home. The price is too high. Just leave. Clean slate. Go. Yeah.
That is wonderful advice, and hopefully people will heed it. I live in the state of Illinois, right across the river here in Mississippi. My governor, J.B. Pritzker, has finally defined who he's working for. If they come for his people, they'll have to go through him. That's what he says. I don't feel very cared for as a taxpayer in that state right now. What do governors like J.B. Pritzker in the state of Illinois, Newsom in California, Hochul in New York, when they say that they will stand in front of these people who are illegally in their states, benefiting from the taxpayer dollars being taken from those people in their states, when they say that they're going to protect them from Tom Holman and the Donald Trump administration on deportation, do they have a leg to stand on?
Well, there's no law that says they have to cooperate with the federal government in enforcement of immigration law. But there is actually a law that says if they interfere with the federal government in the pursuit of enforcing federal law, they've committed a crime. So if he's saying, I'm going to commit a crime, then he's going to be a criminal. That's just, if he wants to, you know, try to impede the federal government in some way that doesn't violate the law, then he's just being an idiot. He's spending money and power and whatever, you know, in pursuit of things that people in his state don't even want.
The sanctuary status, sanctuary state, sanctuary city, does that mean anything?
Not. I mean, there is no legal stature of being a sanctuary, whatever. Basically, what it used to mean was, we will not help you enforce federal immigration law, which does make it harder to deport people. But what they'll do, and look, I know Tom Holman, I know exactly what he's doing. Raise your hand up and said, oh, well, we're not going to do this in my city. Tom Holman will flood that city with ICE agents, and they'll be standing there at the doors when you release somebody from jail and you refuse to turn them over for ICE. ICE is going to stand there at the door, and they're going to screen everybody that's leaving to see if they're illegal or not. They will flood your state. And, you know, the problem with this sanctuary thing is it's not a state's right thing, because you actually are impeding on the civil liberties of the people in your own state. And you essentially create a law-free zone. You're telling people, if you're a criminal alien, come to my community, because we won't be looking for criminal aliens here. It's nuts.
It's outrageous.
And it's going to, I think, really, it's the kind of attention that nobody wants.
Before we let you go, I have the story popped up, and I think it's amusing, but I kind of feel like it puts a positive tone on the future, at least in this president-elect period of time before Donald Trump is inaugurated once again. Fox News reports that South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol, I hope I said that correctly, has reportedly started practicing his golf game in anticipation of meeting president-elect Donald Trump. It says, he goes on to say that he is looking forward to the opportunity to meet him. Days after the call with Donald Trump, Yoon, quote, got out his golf clubs for the first time in 8 years and resumed his golf practice. It may seem like a small thing, but a world leader is trying to figure out how to connect with President Trump. That must mean the influence there is pretty strong.
Yeah, that's not it. I'm sorry. I mean, fine, get out your golf clubs and play golf, and the president. But this is a mistake that people, you know, Abe did this, and people thought, oh, Abe would, you know, flatter Trump, and he was really nice to him, and Abe got every, he was the prime minister of Japan. That's not in the end. I mean, Trump likes to have a personal relationship with somebody. That's great. But in the end, is this in America's interest? What made Abe the first really successful world leader to work with Donald Trump is he brought things to the table that were good for Japan and good for the United States, and Trump responded to that. So all the atmospherics are nice, but it's not playing flattery in golf that's going to, in the end, get you a great relationship with Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's policy. And it's correct. So good to see that Donald Trump has acted so quickly with so many of the cabinet appointments, that he got straight to work. There's no time off. I have a feeling you and I will have much to talk about in a more positive tone in the weeks to come. Jim, you've been spot on this entire time since Joe Biden was inaugurated. And I'm so happy to be on this end of this conversation with you. We always appreciate you.
Good talking with you.
Talk to you again soon. Jim Carafano, our friend here on the Annie Frye Show, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. He literally travels the world talking to the people who matter and who are the decision makers, policy makers, and influencers across the globe on these things. And it's always great to have him on. Now, when we come back, Will Scharf is in studio with us. Of course, one of Donald Trump's attorneys, a former federal prosecutor right here in the Eastern District of Missouri. But there was some significant news that came out today regarding the situation of Donald Trump's legal situation. Let me play for you this clip here real quick before we go to break. Bill Hemmer reports for Fox News.
It is 10 a.m. in New York City, and we've got a ruling based on the Associated Press saying this a moment ago. The judge has delayed made a ruling on whether or not to dismiss President-elect Donald Trump's criminal conviction. These are 34 counts that came in at the end of May, May 30th, and the former president's been fighting it ever since, and the judge is going to sentence him prior to the election, then delayed it given the election itself, and so this is the ruling here. Just reading from the AP, a New York State judge has paused proceedings in the already decided criminal case on charges stemming from the hush money paid to a porn star. All right. The document reads the judge had been set to decide by today whether or not the conviction could be vacated due to the ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court midsummer back in July on presidential immunity. Trump had also been scheduled to be sentenced on November 26. So this now is a whole new ball of wax.
So Bill Hemmer reporting this, and I was listening to this all morning and listening to Andy McCarthy, Jonathan Turley, Shannon Bream, among other legal experts on Fox News. A lot of different takes on it, but it seems like more of the same. The thought that I have on all of this right now is that this was a passive-aggressive move from Judge Merchan, but I don't know. I don't understand this. I'm not a legal expert. So we thought, hey, Will Scharf, he's one of Trump's attorneys. Let's talk to him about it. So he's in studio with us for the rest of the 1 o'clock hour. If you've got questions, throw them at us in the Annie Fry YouTube chat, and maybe we'll toss one in our conversation as we bring Will Scharf into the room post-election, celebrating, I don't know, maybe for the next 4 years? Donald Trump's re-election to the presidency of the United States. Will Scharf, next.